Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
I don't know about you, but maybe you've been experiencing some things in your life that have been kind of chaotic. Maybe some things are turning upside down. Maybe, you know, just people I'm talking to around here where I work have gone through. Myself, this past weekend, I had like my body just didn't feel right, and normally I feel great. And so, you know, I kind of attribute to some of the changes that I know are going on. And this has been a topic that's been on the program many, many times. Well, we don't have too many people come on that talk about astrology. So Jen Howell, she works with me on the radio. We've been doing that for quite a while now. She's been on the show once before. And Jen has, she's got a real interest in astrology. She studied it. She knows it pretty well. And there was a time, like I've always said, that I don't know if I really would have understood it or felt that it was legitimate. But the more you dig into it, and then when you get the explanation of why, that, you know, maybe some people will just give you like pop astrology, and then it can go much deeper than that. So it is almost like a science within itself. How are you doing, Jen?
I'm good. How are you, TJ?
Good. Thanks for coming in today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be on.
So we had talked about this, that we are going through, you know, and I look at this article by Archangel Metatron through James Tiberian. He talks about the same thing. And so many people are saying the same thing, mm-hmm. that we're going through a lot in the last couple of years, especially with the great shift of all of the ages. And now we are in a time period where we're going through what we just got through with the solar eclipse, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We had this really powerful solar eclipse in Pisces. We're still well within those energies, and we're actually in the time period between the first two eclipses of the year. So, you know, we could talk more specifically about that for sure, about each one of the eclipses. But, you know, when we're in the period in between, there are so many things that are shifting and changing so fast. It's like we're assimilating whatever those deeper lessons were of this last eclipse on a certain level that, you know, I was talking to a friend last night, and it's like I told her, you know, time seems to shift and speed up around eclipses because of the impact that they have on the magnetic field of the Earth. And there's a lot of people that are of the belief that it really is an upgrade in our DNA and in our consciousness, as if it's like the universe just totally upgrading our systems on our path to evolution. And it's almost like your brain can't fully process the events that are happening, but I always feel that I'm processing things on a very deep level that I can't quite define, at least not mentally, you know, but I can feel all these major shifts and changes. And we don't really know the exact impacts of eclipses oftentimes until weeks or months after they've happened. I think for that reason specifically.
So we are facing a solar eclipse coming up pretty soon.
Well, we have the full moon lunar coming up on April 4th. Yeah.
And I mean the lunar. Yeah, we already had the solar. Uh-huh. And so, and then also the time of the year with the equinox, that plays into it as well?
Absolutely. I've always read that the veil is thinner around the equinoxes and the solstices. So we had a super moon, new moon eclipse on Friday. It was the equinox just hours after the eclipse peaked. I mean, we are talking serious cusp energy, powerful, powerful endings. You know, the solar eclipse happened in the very final degrees of the very last sign of the zodiac, and that's Pisces. So Pisces is really, you know, symbolically where we merge back with source energy. It is where we connect on the soul level. A lot of people with strong Pisces or influence of Neptune, that's that ruling planet of Pisces, a lot of those people are natural born either musicians, artists, conscious channelers, healers. They offer some kind of spiritual service to the collective, or they are just, I mean, in some way or another, they're always serving as some kind of a channel for something greater than themselves. So we were really in those energies. We still have a lot of planets in Pisces, but all the planets that were in Pisces then, I mean, even though it was a new moon, which is about new beginnings, there was this energy of really pivotal, deep, powerful endings. And I think the blog post that I wrote about this was cleansing and renewal before the dawn or something, because it was just this deep cathartic, I mean, in the final degrees of the final sign, in the last minutes of this sign. So, you know, that and the fact that Uranus, Pluto, these two planets that have been squaring each other since the middle of 2012, breaking up all these world structures and really breaking up the structures that are outdated in our own lives, that wrapped up with its final exactitude. What day was it? March 16th, I think. So now we're in this period where both those planets are moving forward. They just wrapped up. We had this eclipse. I mean, this is a powerful time we're in with just being on that cusp of moving forward.
And what does that translate out to? Here's what I've noticed in this time period. Two people that I know have passed, or people that I know have lost loved ones. So I'm thinking people might transition during this time period?
Well, and Pisces, in general, I actually know three people who they've had loved ones or relatives that have passed on in the last week. And, you know, as an astrologer, I don't think it's ever ethical or appropriate to go around predicting death. But I had a sense that, you know, for some people that would be happening. But eclipse time, that's not uncommon, but especially because it's in Pisces, which there's such an element of finality and merging back with source, depending on where those planets are going to be impacting individuals. I was
so we
not
could,
surprised.
We can see that go on. People's health can be affected. Right?
Absolutely.
Like mine, I had this pain in my back a little bit, and I had it right along the back of my neck, which is usually like in my glands. And it's not like I didn't feel bad. I just felt tired, and I just felt like my body was making a shift of some sort.
Totally.
And I was just, and now I've accepted it, and I've got the rest I thought I needed, and cleared my head a little bit, and I feel pretty good about it. And so I'm thinking people are feeling that. What about headaches? Because this is another thing, too, that I think that I've heard people, when we're receiving a download, like you said, we're getting a big download.
Absolutely.
Do you get like a dull headache, like at the top of your crown chakra, like your head?
You could.
And I've heard so many people, and this happened to me, too. It's like, okay, I must be downloading something.
Right, and you know, it depends on your own level of evolution and where you're at. I think some people will experience it. Some people will get buzzing in their ears.
That, too.
Or
I get
ringing
that.
In one side or the other.
Yep,
other people, you know, maybe not as much, but it, we all feel it and are impacted.
Are we going to be, does this affect our mood? Are we going to be less patient? Are we going to be more on edge and fly off the handle?
It depends on what planets are impacting each person where and how. In general, you know, I'm looking at this eclipse coming up on the 4th. There is going to be a whole lot of tension that, especially in the few days after the eclipse, I think is really going to possibly just explode out for a lot of people based on some of the triggers we're going to see happening. But, you know, depending on the planets that are involved and depending on where you're at and what you're going through, yeah, absolutely. I mean, emotions can definitely feel like you just can't get a handle on them. It's easy to lose a sense of grounding during eclipses because routines really tend to go out the window somewhat. You know, it's like the quite literally the laws of time are the illusion of the laws of linear time apply much less during eclipse periods. It's almost like the universe says, we have more important things to do than stick to the day-to-day right now.
So, and this is really about our growth, isn't it?
It's absolutely. About,
and so maybe a heads up to people is that try to stay grounded, and what can they do to try to stay grounded?
There are many things you can do. You know, something that I have found to be very helpful, because grounding has been a lifelong work in progress for me, being such a water intuitive mental type, I find that foot soaks in Epsom salts, or, you know, you can use different kinds of crystals or baking soda, that helps to put you back in touch with your body. You know, our feet are our literal connection point to the earth. Any time you can spend outside, I think noticing how it feels, you know, if you can do earthing, which is having your feet directly on the soil, so long as, of course, you're in a safe place to do that, that's an incredible way to get back in touch with the earth. Stand on the roots of a tree. I've done that. Hug a tree. It's powerful. I found that if I put my hands on the soles of my feet and just hold it there, it does form a complete energy circuit. It will calm you down. It will ground you. You know, there are just a number of things people can do. You can even sit with Let's say you're going to take your right hand and put it on the inside of your left knee, and take your left hand and put it on the inside of your right knee. So your hands are just sort of crossed in that position. I can't tell you why it's so powerful, but it's really powerful. If you know Donna Eden's energy medicine techniques, those are wonderful too. Get a massage. Do something, you know, something healthy, pleasurable that puts you in touch with your
body.
What
about just like even meditating and visualizing yourself connected to the earth?
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Maybe running that energy down into the earth like you're, like it's tree mm-hmm. trunk.
I will do that often when I do workshops with people. I will usually run us through some kind of connection meditation where we are connecting with the heart center first. And then, you know, you can envision on your own at home if you have some nice music to put on or light a candle or not, whatever feels right. You can, you know, envision that energy coming from your heart center. And as you breathe, just allow it to move down and out the soles of your feet. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, TJ, because one thing that I've done that's been really powerful, I think I learned this from, it was either Joy, who's, of course, you know, I've been on your other shows, and I think Rosalind McGrath of Empowering Lightwork, she's someone else who's worked with this, is if you meditate in and let that, you know, you're envisioning that energy going to the center of the earth, imagine that there's a safety stone at the center of the earth that is your exact spot to hook in to Gaia's energies that belongs to you and only you, and just allow yourself to feel your energies, you know, wrapping around or connecting into the center of that safety stone, and then let it flow back up. When I felt unsafe or vulnerable or scattered, that has really helped bring me back, because, you know, the earth, it's a very real living organism that serves to support us on every level. So when we connect into that, you know, she is there to support us, and I have said at times, Gaia, help me, support me, and I just feel the surge come up.
And I think that's a great explanation mm-hmm. of how to do that.
Yeah.
What we're also experiencing with all this is that the Earth's energy is shifting. You and I have talked about this mm-hmm. not so much in an interview before. And in a way, ours is trying to shift to keep up with that.
Yeah.
And if we don't do that, mm-hmm. things could get a little more hectic or chaotic for
yeah us. I think it's essential that we are not only connecting spiritually but that we're merging our energies with the earth, because if you think about it, and this is actually a very Piscean sort of concept, it's, if you think about the glyph of Pisces, it's two fish that are swimming in opposite directions together. So it's like this pull between the spiritual and the physical world, and this ability to, you know, also go very deeply within ourselves to meditate, you know, have our powerful realization spiritually, and then come back up, so to speak, and be able to share that with the physical world, because it's really about merging heaven and earth at this time. So when we ground our energies into the earth and allow it to flow back up and feel a connection then back through our crown to source, and ask, you know, our angels or guides or just the universe and cosmos in to help us, the more we can do that, the more we're being that complete circuit and that agent between the two. And that's what we have to do if we're going to consciously ascend.
So we have this lunar eclipse that's going to be coming up. Mm-hmm. And what is the date of that?
That's April 4th. So that's
not far away.
Not at all.
And then what do we have down the road? Because this is going to be going on for quite a while, right? We're looking at many things this year on mm-hmm. top of that, right?
Right. So we have this. Let me, I have the dates of the other two eclipses here. Then the next solar eclipse is going to be at 20 degrees Virgo. Looks like September 13th. And then the full moon lunar, the next one will be at 4 degrees of Aries, September 27th. So those are the next two coming up this year. Otherwise, you know, the real big news of this year is the wrap up of the Uranus-Pluto square. With Uranus and Pluto, you know, this started back the middle of 2012, but we were feeling it really like 2009 through 2011. And I'll give you a little bit of background on that, and this will help you connect in and understand what maybe has been going on. Like, if you're listening and you've been going through some major shifts since 2012 that you feel are wrapping up now, I think this will provide a lot of explanation, and then it'll help you understand too why this last eclipse was as powerful as it was. So, you know, I'll give you an example of one event that really kicked off this Uranus-Pluto square. It's really tragic, but it's going to give you an idea of the volatility of these energies. When Uranus and Pluto were within 7 degrees of each other, that's a wide enough orb, as we say in astrology, you know, wide enough to where, even though it's not exact, we could still really feel it. The tsunami in Japan And the explosion in that power plant at Fukushima happened at the exact time that Uranus had switched out of retrograde motion, meaning that, you know, for a while when planets are in the retrograde phase, it looks like they're going backwards from Earth. And it really symbolizes like a review process within ourselves of whatever that planet symbolizes. But when Uranus started then moving forward and crossed into Aries, which is the first sign of the zodiac, it's a fire sign. Things start off with a bang, like it's the warrior, it's the big bang, the explosion. As soon as that shift happened is when the reactor blew at Fukushima.
That's interesting. How long ago was that? What year was that?
I think that was March of 2011.
Wow.
So this is before the two planets even joined up exactly. I mean, 7 degrees, you know, we can feel it, but that's fairly wide in terms of, you know, the connection between planets. But
so we look at it as, a lot of people look at this event like the tsunami and these things that have happened and say, well, that's just an act of nature, but really there's much more to it.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I get goosebumps when you say that. Absolutely. You know, and I think it'll be helpful if we talk a little bit about those two planets and what they mean and the signs they're in. It'll help you understand. I've got other dates and events here too if you're interested in talking about that, because every year that these have hooked up, you know, we've had all these other things that have happened, some, you know, seeming tragic. Other things, really big social
and really
forward,
and really those are really events to wake us up.
I absolutely think
and people may, you know, you look at it, people say, well, if this is meant to wake us up, what if you're dead? It's like,
right,
well you can't wake up. The thing is, you know, we don't understand, I don't believe, you don't understand a person what their agenda was coming here.
Mm-mm.
And also what they maybe, not only when you have an agenda before you come here, but I think you also create one while you're here on top
right.
of that. And
right.
so we don't, I mean, I guess you could look it up in if you knew somebody's horoscope, you could probably see a lot of that. But
I'm sorry,
I was just going to say that I look at it this way. If somebody dies in a tragedy, whether it's me or whoever, it's all part of meant to be. It's all part of meant to wake us up. Or maybe they wanted to experience that moment of being part of that with others. I mean, who's to say?
Who's to say? And that's the thing. And you know, in astrology, there's this belief that good astrology, you really shouldn't ever marry it with a belief system or a philosophy too closely. So I guess, you know, in agreeing with you, I do want to stress that in my work that I do with clients, I don't really push any kind of belief system or anything. It's more like, you know, we come in, we talk about things from where they're at, what they're comfortable with. But in a very specific way, I really do agree with everything that you've said personally, just based on my experience. And it's incredible to look at birth charts. You know, again, you really can't predict death based on a birth chart. It's really not ethical. However, we can see the deeper purpose. And really, it's more about looking at the current transits, meaning the way the planets are impacting your personal birth chart now. And when we combine what your birth chart is already attuned to with the transits that are happening or eclipses or whatever else, we, more importantly than anything, you know, it's really not about prediction. It's about getting to the heart of what is it you're learning? What do you have an opportunity to bring forward at that time? And there's endless ways that we as people can express those possibilities. But oftentimes, you know, we do see a correlation with involvement of Uranus or Mars in smaller planetary triggers in violent death or things like that. But when you look at the context of an entire life from this perspective, we can get maybe a clearer sense of maybe what the soul purpose involved was or different things like that. It's really phenomenal.
Well, you know, you and I, you've been on the show once before, and you and I, we've done the radio thing. And so, and, you know, I think we, you know, most people I know that are, whether they're doing what you do or what Joy or Rosalind, we kind of all have an understanding of what the soul is and where it comes from and what
right.
it does. I don't, we've never really talked about that. So if you want to maybe touch on that just a little bit, your viewpoint, because, you know, I know you do more than just astrology.
Sure.
You heal people. So what is this journey all about?
Oh man, it's hard to describe, you know, and I think we all perceive it a little bit differently, and I'm not sure any one person really has the entire perspective of the truth, but to me, it just seems that we have an opportunity to be a part of this incredible I don't know, like I've heard people say like this incredible human DNA experience where we get to come into the form and experience contrast, the contrast of heightened senses. And, you know, one of my favorite books that really, I think, helps me understand things, it is called The Third Mary. And it was channeled, you know, by Rosalind McGrath. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, her wisdom that she shares in there has really helped me make sense of things. And like talking about the role that humanity has in evolving. And, you know, not only that book, but I would say, too, what's come through from The Ones with No Names in a channeling that Flo had done about 8-Point Star and The Ones with No Names saying, that Earth, at least according to them and what they're saying through her, that Earth is the center of all universes and all creation, and that ultimately our job is to balance. And, you know, I work with 8-Point Star with almost everybody who wants to receive it. I mean, it's Bright Star Astrology and Healing Earth. That's where the name of my business comes from. But I really believe that resonates with me. You know, we're star children. We're here to balance and to experience life in a physical body. But I think that experience, you know, and getting back to maybe like an Abraham concept, would maybe a consciousness Abraham would say through Esther Hicks, is your, what is it, the purpose. The basis of your life is freedom. The purpose of your life is joy. I really believe that. So beyond that, who knows? I don't know. I just think that as we're ready to evolve and grow, we have endless joy available to us.
I guess I wanted to ask you that question because I wanted maybe people that aren't familiar with mm-hmm. you to know your perspective.
Sure.
And so, you know, we talked about how people will pass away in accidents and loved ones, or we'll lose loved ones in life. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is just a temporary place.
Yeah, I think so. And I was just having this conversation with somebody the other day about how, you know, if it's true that there are multiple lifetimes, and I personally feel that I've been around many, many times. I feel that I'm an old soul. You know, it would seem almost as if, you know, yeah, this is a temporary journey. I think that home is the cosmos or heaven or the etheric realms or whatever you want to call it. I really feel that this is the trip we take to learn to grow. It's almost, you know, kind of like kids go off to college. It's almost like, you know, is this a soul's college? I don't know, but it's incredible, whatever it is.
Well, and from that perspective, I just, to me, it explains, you know, if somebody's listening, they're going, well, how can you think it's a good thing that somebody died in an accident?
Right.
It's like, we put too much value on physical life. I mean, not saying that I don't value it, but this is a small part of our journey.
Right, and it, as if what you're saying is that, you know, physical life is all there is. I think for some it's very easy to get caught up in living in a body, in the form on this planet, and, you know, we get so caught up in the day-to-day living or in societal norms or what the government says we should or should be thinking or doing or this is how it is, that I think it's easy to get caught up in that and forget that maybe there's much more to the picture and that our science really does have a lot of catching up to do. I think we're getting there with metaphysics and, you know, different astrophysics, different studies like that. But I agree with what you're saying. Yeah, I believe there's much, much more than what meets the eye. And, you know, if somebody doesn't see it that way, that's fine. We're all entitled to that life view.
And I think also as beings, you know, when you reach a state of understanding, not that I'm completely there, mm-hmm. but I can see clearly that it's really about detachment. We mm-hmm. can't hold on to anything like this bottle I'm holding right now. You're going to let go of all of it. And that's cool. I mean, that's fine with me.
Impermanence, yeah.
The people that I associate with now, for one, that's not your real form nor mine.
Right.
I'm this blob of energy, by the way.
All right, because we're not even solid. Our eyes just can't perceive that we're not solid. Yeah.
I'm willing to let go of all of that. Now, granted, when you're going through it, it's difficult if you're mm-hmm. losing somebody at the time. But
of course.
When you step back away from it, you see the beauty in all of it. I think I do.
Right. And I think, you know, it's been told to me by people that I really respect and really think they're very wise and very tuned in spiritually that when it is a soul's time to go, that's it. They depart. They've learned their lessons and there's this just, they're done. They go home. And the grieving process is just incredibly, it's exhausting and it's draining and it's you can't really even define that kind of pain in words when you lose a loved one. But I think, at least from the losses that I have been through, I really feel that they are placed perhaps in our path at a time when it can serve to teach us something, maybe about the nature of impermanence. And it's very interesting to me, you know, I'll use this as an example. My paternal grandmother, my Grandma June, you know, I feel closer to her now that she's crossed over. Mm-hmm. There are times when I just feel her pop in before some really pivotal life event. And I just, you know, this very pink love type mothering energy. Okay, there she is right now. You know, it's like, they're there all the time. You know, I've channeled my other grandparents for my mother. I have friends who, you know, that conscious channeling is just normal for them, where they, you know, they'll see loved ones and they'll see energies. And I think for those of us waking up to this, it's so much, there's just so much comfort and peace in realizing, oh, they're there, they're eternal, they're happy, they're joyful, yeah. Cool. You know, it's like, how amazing is this?
They're free too.
Oh my gosh, they are free. Absolutely.
And I think sometimes that's the reason why people will cross over. You know, they're at that point. I think we always have a choice, and you know, that, like, I've worked with the native people,
yes.
And you do like a tobacco prayer, and mm-hmm. and I was told that it helps people to make a choice. So people mm-hmm. will pray for somebody, but really that person is receiving that is really making a choice. Do I want to stay? Do I want to go?
Sure.
Even if you had your life, I think, mapped out a certain way, I think you always have the option to change that. And mm-hmm. you say, well, a lot of people I've heard over the years, it's because they wanted to be free to serve in spirit. Because
mm-hmm.
your
sure.
physical body, you have to drive everywhere or fly.
Right, right.
If I want to go see somebody, I've got to fly there.
Yeah.
But if I'm in spirit, I'm there in a moment, mm-hmm. an instant. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think many right now, especially in the last couple of years since 2012, mm-hmm. have crossed over.
Could be. And there's just so many pivotal energy shifts and changes as we're moving into this evolution. I think not all souls were ready to stick around for that, or they've maybe played their role, whatever that was, and maybe they are ready to assist on another level. You know, it's very common for loved ones, from what I've experienced and what other people have said, for loved ones to then act as guides for you. Like I said, there have been times when my grandparents have come through and I can feel them supporting and guiding me before, even, you know, like before I had my traumatic head injury a few years ago, I felt my grandpa and grandma's presence very clearly with me. And then all of a sudden this thing happens, you know? So I feel that they are there with us, our loved ones, always guiding us, whether we're consciously aware of it or not. And I do think that the more we open to those energies or put ourselves in the flow by getting energy healing sessions or working with crystals and gemstones or just meditating, tuning in, we all have the ability to cultivate more clarity and openness in those senses.
And how does astrology assist in all of these? It's kind of like a scientific understanding. Mm-hmm. Would you define it as that? Kind of like a way to scientifically understand the roadmap mm-hmm. that was kind of placed before us, right?
I believe so. I absolutely think so. Yeah, it becomes more clear to me all the time in, you know, seeing other people's birth charts, and the more that I continue to pore over my own, where, you know, it's like, for whatever reason, when we're born, we take on the energy of the cosmos in that moment. And I do feel that, you know, like people say, well, I guess some things are just meant to be. And I think sometimes we can feel that there's a higher order to things, whether we're going through a time where it's like, oh, I just met this great person, and it's like I looked at you and I just knew, you know, it's the start of a great friendship or relationship, or whether we lose a loved one and then, you know, for some reason it's like just feels like that's meant to be on our path too. I really feel that when we look at a birth chart, we can see some of those patterns inherent in that chart, and for whatever reason, I really do think that souls seem to choose their path based on what maybe, you know, would be best for growth and how they could best fulfill their roles in this lifetime. And, you know, it's not uncommon either to be able to look to certain parts of the chart to see maybe what some past life experiences and karma and some triggers are there. I've been through a lot of that myself. So, yeah, we can get just endless amounts of information from a birth chart about your personality structure, your life path, patterns and relationships. How do we heal ourselves out of ruts that we just can't seem to break? How do we manifest abundance? What is my calling? What's my path? Timing is something, the understanding of the cycles that we're in, and timing with astrology is just an incredible thing that we can use, not only for peace of mind, but to help us navigate what cycles we're in and how we can make the most of opportunities. You know, let's say somebody is born with the sun in the 12th house. That's an area where it's not uncommon just because of those energies, where whether it's karmic or not, this is a person who usually will come into their own and blossom in their core purpose later in life. And I've had people, you know, just as one example, who have had their sun in the 12th house, you've come to me and say, I'm 30 something, 40 something years old. I just can't seem to get things to work out for me. I just feel like I'm a failure. What's going on? And, you know, that's one thing that pops up right away. And I said, well, you're really not. I'm like, this is just what you're configured and attuned to. I've had people cry tears of relief when I say that. They're like, oh my God, you've helped me feel like it's not all lost. And then, you know, we go a little bit further, look at the current transits. Sure enough, you know, one person in particular had this whole range of transits coming up in the next, you know, 2 to 5 years, where it was very career purpose oriented. So, you know, it really helps us, for one thing, not fight the flow. It helps us work with what we've got and really bring in that peace. It's sort of like Eckhart Tolle says, you know, when you stop fighting what is, you can accept it, bring in the peace, and then do something productive with it. Astrology has helped me do that and countless other people. Absolutely.
What can we expect now? And is there anything we should do? I mean, we kind of talked about this earlier, but... Mm-hmm. There are obviously major changes happening.
Mm-hmm.
We're going through a shift of the ages. You called it that before.
Mm-hmm.
The age of Aquarius.
Yeah.
It's a major, this is a big thing, isn't it?
This is huge, yeah. And I don't know how much time we have, if you wanted to get back a little bit to that Uranus-Pluto square.
Sure, go ahead.
To lay the groundwork. So just to give you an idea of these planets, you know, Pluto is... the what we would call the heaviest planet involved in these changes. Is, you know, some people might not, I don't know if it's officially classified as a planet anymore, if I thought they were talking about changing that. But it is such a powerful influence on us psychologically, emotionally. You know, it represents our deepest connection with our inner power. Okay, so it is a planet of deep, deep inner power, of connecting with our sense of destiny. Oftentimes, Pluto transits will put us on a path of what we might call destiny and larger purpose, and the feeling, you know, of drive to do something really meaningful with our lives that transcends our own personal life. Also tends to bring a lot of trauma, and it's not uncommon with some Pluto transits that it is some different kinds of trauma, loss, letting go, where everything is stripped away except our core sense of power. And I find that when we stop fighting whatever is going on with a Pluto, let's say Pluto Sun transit, you know, I went through a lot of grief and losing relatives and other major life upheavals, and you know, going through even, you know, sometimes being manipulated or coerced by other people or just these power struggles, I found that, you know, I really did have a core of inner strength and never knew I had, and it did transform me from the inside out. It's a, you know, that Persephone in the underworld, you know, Pluto is of course, you know, the god of the underworld, right, in Greek mythology. So, you know, Persephone in the underworld kind of experiences, you're pulled under into these periods of grief or struggle, and then that's where you find yourself and you find your strength and you come out of that forever changed. So this planet has been in Capricorn, which is a sign that we can associate with the breakup of old structures on the global level. So think about world governments, corporations, the things we see as societal norms in terms of religion, in terms of society. Think about the patriarchy. You know, all of those are things we can connect with this sign. So Pluto moving through Capricorn is bringing a whole lot of breakup of old structures there, and I think turning our attention to the darkest aspects of what goes on in those realms for the purpose of releasing it, okay, for the purpose of clearing it, addressing it. I think there have been a lot of scandals that have come to light, governments, a lot of abuses of power, all of those things. So, you know, we're also going to see the worst of the worst in that coming out as Pluto moves through this sign, because people who are attuned to that vibration of manipulation or greed or this psychological twist, this is going to maybe heighten that. And I think, TJ, what you said about if there are tragedies that happen because of it, it's working on not only the individual but a global level to get our awareness there. And
right.
Uranus, this planet, you know, Prometheus and the lightning bolts, and, you know, Uranus is this planet of liberation, of quick change, of, it's like, it's the planet of me versus the world, in terms of these societal norms. How am I going to liberate myself from these things in the ways that they're not serving me? And Uranus and Aries, Aries, again, it's that warrior sign. It's that fire sign. It's impulse to just go and drive and be and do. I think we've seen a lot of radical attempts at liberation I think about the Middle East. I think about what's happened in Egypt. There's just so many things that have happened that are connected with this. But, violent uprisings, we've definitely seen that. That's like maybe perhaps a lower vibrational expression. But I've also seen individuals liberate themselves from career paths and relationships that it's like the old ways of being that don't serve them anymore. And they're just releasing in unprecedented ways. And there's then this sense of uncertainty. Since 2012, I think with a lot of people, it's like, what next? What's happening? What's going on? We're going to get a much clearer sense of what exactly is happening and what is going on now that we're moving out of this.
You know, when I talk about that, I like to read these articles by the Archangel Metatron, because mm-hmm. he says a lot of the same stuff that you say.
I've read them. They're awesome. Yeah.
But one of the things they keep saying is that the truth is going to come out.
Oh, and this, when I tuned into these aspects intuitively before we were getting ready for this, Uranus, Pluto, square, let me just see what, some of what this is about. I think there's huge karmic release happening on this planet right now, because what I was seeing intuitively was like just this monumental earthquake energy. It's like I could literally see the ground breaking up, and it was almost like I saw souls or this energy, like the representation of people or energy, just emerging from these cracks. So it's almost like it's this release too of all these old things in every level that are no longer serving us, that it is just time to start letting this go. And we have had different earth disasters, and
speaking of which,
yeah,
you and I talked about this. I don't know how you feel on this, but we have some people we both know that we had that very unusual.
Ah, yeah.
Very unusual event that happened. When was it? A couple months ago now?
Yeah, a couple. Was it January,
area.
February?
I don't know. I just happened to be gone that whole week when it happened.
Uh-huh. Right.
And we had, those of you that aren't familiar, something that they still don't know how it happened, but four different reactors went, and they lost power in this area.
Yeah.
And it was for more than a couple of days.
Just an explosion. I heard somebody knocked something over or something.
I don't know.
It just blew, but
there was a light shooting up in the sky.
Yeah. Who knows?
And more than one person has told me, and I think this sounds, it feels right to me, that it was some kind of release.
Oh, yeah. The Earth is absolutely offering up, I think, its thoughts at various times through this Uranus Pluto square. It's going to happen. And it isn't so much, astrology and the planets are bringing these horrible fated events and, oh my God, the tragedy and, oh, astrology is some horrible thing. It's just, this is, as above, so below. As below, so above. It's like, it's the way that we collectively are channeling these energies because of where our vibration is at on planet Earth right now. So we are going to see people expressing the lowest of the lowest expression of this, people hitting the wall in killing other people, or, I think about, Islamic State. I think about these violent radicals that are trying to do these, government regional takeovers, if it's true, that they're, I forget what it was, they were destructing and bulldozing a couple of weeks ago, all those kinds of things. And I said, I've got a whole list here of the things that happened, the different, the Edward Snowden thing happened too. That's another, when were the dates for that? Let me check that out, because I wrote down, what was that, 2013, talk about exposing government secrets in a really radical, fearless kind of way. Now that's some Plutonian secrets coming to light there. Defensive Marriage Act was struck down the same year. We had the George Zimmerman trial, Boston bombing, Navy Yard shooting. These women got rescued from that horrible situation in Cleveland where they were in this guy's basement years. So, Sandy Hook happened, 2012. Superstorm Sandy, Benghazi, the Syria situation. We get 2014, Ebola, Ferguson. The conflict in the Ukraine, what else? there's just so much, the NFL domestic violence, the attention going there. It's like, you know, we can just see all these huge things just shifting.
Oh, absolutely.
And changing.
You know, that you see these things happen, but there isn't always, maybe there isn't always a resolution or an awareness right away.
Right.
But like the NFL domestic violence, mm-hmm. now I think people are going to, at least on the outside, be much more aware mm-hmm. of how women are treated and
Absolutely.
Have been treated for a long time. Not saying that guys don't get battered around sometimes.
Oh, of course they do. Yeah.
But what was cool about the Ray Rice thing, I think, that came out of that, mm-hmm. is that he obviously admitted to it, not right away at first, but he did come clean. But mm-hmm. his wife also stood in support. And, you know, she took some responsibility in as well. Now, I don't agree that he should have struck her. Mm-hmm. But compared to some other situations, there's another fella from Carolina, the Panthers, and he nearly killed this gal. And that was a very serious situation. So people have become much more aware. Mm-hmm. And what I do like is if people are honest about it and not try to say, what's all this or it's all that. Mm-hmm. People take accountability. Which I thought Ray Rice's wife did. Good for her for standing up, even though she said, listen, I was drunk. I was attacking him, too. I shouldn't have done that.
Sure.
So that's important. The truth has to come out. But mm-hmm. I see greater awareness for women now. We're seeing it in India.
Absolutely. See how these atrocities come into light. Now, Saturn doing its work in Scorpio that it had previously been doing, and it's going to backtrack into Scorpio. I want to say June or July is, you know, Tisk and me, the astrologer, not having these dates in front of me. But this summer is going to track back into Scorpio. Saturn's all about accountability. Okay, it's all about accountability. Saturn and Scorpio is just, you know, think about Scorpio as being like a feminine sign, because it is a water sign, but it's very intense. Some people associate it with like priestess energies, like the high priestess. We saw a lot of things coming to light with atrocities towards women when Saturn was in Scorpio. A lot of accountability happening there. And I think with the Uranus-Pluto square too, you know, this Uranus is all about fighting for the underdog. For those of you who are Aquarians or have a prominent placement of Uranus, you have a lot of planets in Aquarius, the 11th house in your birth charts. You're going to have a lot of this energy where it's this fight for the underdog and equal rights and this idea of together but not the same. You know, Jeff Jauer, this incredible astrologer who passed away not long ago, had coined that term, together but not the same. And that's a, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. had his moon in Aquarius. So we see a lot of attention being paid to minority groups of every kind in these uprisings. Right. We're seeing whether or not we can condone any kind of violence on either side. You know, some people would say yes, some people would staunchly say no. Some people would say, well, there's gray area. But for sure, we are seeing attention paid to, you know, much more rights for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people now, especially, what is it, Clean and Clear Skin Company. They just took on the week, right, or, you know, I think it was a week before this exacting of the Uranus-Pluto square, they took on their first representative who was a transgender teen.
Hmm.
How cool is that, yeah. You know? So we've got all these things happening, you know, on minority groups of every kind, black people, what's going on in Ferguson. All of this is getting attention,
I think also,
as it should.
We're seeing, and, you know, I don't really know the truth 100% on those events, but what we are seeing is that people maybe are going to challenge authority, because there used mm-hmm. to be a time.
Oh, major authority challenges with this, and sometimes in these really radical, violent ways.
There used to be a time when authority could do whatever it wanted mm-hmm. and got away with it.
Not so much anymore.
It's getting called out.
Absolutely.
Now, right or wrong, because I'm not sure about some of these incidents, exactly the facts
sure.
behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to jump. You know, I always think you got to wait till the facts come out before you make any kind of decision.
I agree with you. Yeah, I view it.
And I think sometimes people have jumped the gun on some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are just looking to cause trouble. But the greater message out of all of it is we should be allowed to stand up to authority mm-hmm. and at least hold it accountable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and we are going to see so much of that with this. And especially, you know, now with one thing I think of, and I feel that as an astrologer, I am not a medical expert, but with this other major planetary influence now coming into focus, we have Saturn again, which is this planet of authority and accountability. It's a planet that I think Grant Louis is the one who coined the term, it's the cosmic paycheck. You get exactly what you've put out. You reap exactly what you sow. And it's not uncommon With Saturn transits, that people who have been dishonest in some kind of way, who have been stealing money, abusing their privileges in some way or another, are brought to justice. And it's interesting to me how, you know, right now we have Saturn meeting up with Neptune in a hard aspect in a square. Neptune is sort of this dissolver of boundaries, and it has to do also with substances of every kind, and with our waterways, with our environment. It's the ruling planet of Pisces. It's, you know, where the boundaries are dissolved. So when Saturn meets up with Neptune, you know, we have sort of this questioning and doubting of authorities in general. Also, religious persecution can be an issue with that. But I think about how this vaccine debate has just absolutely exploded. And I'm not at all surprised, because it has to do with people questioning who has the right to dictate what goes in my body or my mm-hmm. child's body. Mm-hmm. How much can we trust what's coming out through these corporations? Mm-hmm. You know, I think holding the media accountable for what their role in all of this is also. Because, you know, like I said, Saturn will bring accountability. And there are many people who claim that they have been vaccine injured, who I think now they are standing up
yourself
and they're
being
speaking
one of them.
Out. Yeah. And again, you know, I'm not a medical expert, but I have had very adverse reactions mm-hmm. that I really feel that I live with, potentially live with some of the effects every day. And I know others who claim to have been far more directly impacted by it. Now, again, I can't make an official stance on anything because I'm not a medical expert, but I can guarantee that this is an issue that I feel if we are going to, instead of just blindly trusting what, let's face it, multi-billion-dollar corporations are saying they've tested and have approved, there is seems to be a lot of evidence that if you trust their sources, perhaps seem to suggest otherwise. So again, without saying, oh, I have all the answers and I know what's going on, expect there to be much more attention paid to this issue. This is going to escalate between now and 2017. And actually, let me check on the dates of exactitude here. It looks like, let's see, we're going to have one meetup late November of this year is when that they're going to be close to exactitude or exacts, the Saturn and Neptune square, June 2016, September 2016. And it roughly, you know, it, like I said, it's in effect now and it will roughly be in effect through 2017. So, you know, also the safety and health of our waters and waterways. I just found an article a couple weeks ago about the long-term effects of this Fukushima explosion and how potentially some of that wastewater is now impacting the western coast of the U.S. And about, you know, there seemed to be an increase in thyroid issues in infants and possibly mortality rates and fish bleeding out their gills in western Canada and nobody knows why. It outlined all these other things that have to happen with cleanup that could potentially be very dangerous. Well, here again, it's Saturn bringing this accountability, getting responsible. What kind of practical action do we have to take facing the consequences?
You know what's amazing about all that? Yeah. Sorry to cut you
that's
off.
That's okay. Here. That's all right.
Because you're on a roll.
Well, I feel free. I mean, sometimes I get a little bit too much of a roll.
That's good. It makes it easy. But when this happened, when that plant exploded, in the past, they would have been ballistic, worrying about what was going to get in the water, how it was going to get here. And it's just like, nothing. You hear nothing about it.
Right.
And it's like it's just all ignored. And the same with when we had the Gulf oil spill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's all gone. It's all been cleaned up. No, it hasn't. Well, I'm the president. I'm going to go swimming down. And you go ahead and swim down if you want.
Right.
I'm inviting everybody to come down and swim. It's like,
and how can we possibly know the long-term ecological impacts of some of these events? I don't believe we will know.
There's people that I know. There's a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. You know, the best thing you can do is go yourself or talk to people that have been there. He said Valdez, Alaska still isn't completely recovered. And how long ago was that?
Right. Or there's places where there's been fracking or sulfide mining. I think of Lac du Flambeau in Wisconsin where, you know, they show pictures where the river runs orange. And I forget the half-life of those chemicals that are released and what happens, but it's Wow. You know, so I think we're going to see much more attention being paid to those issues. In fact, there was an article, again, I just came across last week about how California, unless they take some measures, that they have, what, 1 year of water left in their supplies because of this drought, and some kind of issues with water safety in Canada with the territorial provinces and something else. But, you know, I would not be surprised to hear about disease outbreaks also, because Neptune, you know, we can think of it as communicable diseases. Saturn is our defenses. So I would not be surprised to see an increase in that. I would not be surprised to see, you know, questioning government authorities about environmental protection, different things like that. But again, this is good on the larger sense, because mm-hmm. Saturn will draw our attention to there. It's like, it's the realities that you can't ignore anymore.
No.
So it's, you know, the individuals will be impacted in this way. And, you know, Saturn's in Sagittarius, we're all exploring and examining our truths, and we're going to see pretty dogmatic behavior.
And really,
out,
you know,
too.
The thing is, you know, a lot of the things we're talking about mm-hmm. here, people could listen to and they could be afraid.
Sure.
Fear.
That is not the point of this discussion.
No, and this is why I wanted to bring it up. Mm-hmm. It's because, again, going back to letting go, what's the worst thing that could happen? I always ask people, what's the worst thing that could happen? What's the worst thing?
Right.
Croak.
We go back. Croak.
I croak tomorrow. Is that a bad thing? Is it maybe you dance? I don't know. Is that a bad thing at all, Jen?
No. We're all going back to source anyway. I am in no way trying to make light of death whatsoever.
Well, but it is part of a natural process that we forget about.
It is.
And we think it's such a big deal. And is it really that big of a deal?
Who knows? Right. I don't consciously remember passing away if I've been here previous lifetimes, but I very tangibly feel very connected to Source and my angels and guides.
So I look at it that way. That's the worst thing that could happen is I could croak tomorrow from something. And chances are I won't even remember. It'll happen, you know. It'll happen. And next thing I know, I'm going to be feeling good. No pain, no hunger,
whatever. You're going to come back and haunt the radio station.
I might come back and haunt you. I just might do that for the fun of it.
That's not okay with me.
But I'm just saying, you know, if you look at it in terms of what's the absolute worst, we're going to return back to where we came from, right? That's the absolute.
I believe so.
So if you can let go of things, and fear is something that seems to be something they want us to embrace while we're here, and that kind of just feeds it.
It holds us in lower vibrational energy patterns, and I would
also.
And
that's what the Earth has been, really. This is why we have this big shift.
Absolutely. It's drawing attention to the things that I believe we need to
address. We lived in a fear-based society for thousands of years, mm-hmm. and you can go back and take the divine feminine, and that's all a part of it.
Oh, and we're seeing the rise of that with all of these shifts and changes, too.
So my point on it is, we are really trying to get past all of this, and that's why these things are happening, and they're not meant for you to be afraid. Empower yourself. That's what Jen is doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Rosalind is doing.
Yes.
Joy, all the people that come on my show, and everybody might do it slightly differently, but they're giving you the opportunity to take accountability. We haven't done that, have we? Taken accountability. Because somebody
else. I think collectively some have it, I think, on a very large scale.
Most of us throughout our lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has changed a lot in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
We've seen a rapid change, and people are starting to wake up.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm thinking prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
We
was more of people just living their day to day. Okay, this
but
is
we also
just
gave up
is.
Our power to our governments and whatever else institutions around us. And now we're beginning to take our own accountability and question those things. And it really is setting us free.
Mm-hmm. I do believe so. And, you know, something I would say is that you cannot experience an event that you are not in the vibration of. So if you're fearful about disease, or you're fearful about, you know, violence or other things, the more you can do to connect with source energy, with the divine, with your guardian angels, get healing sessions, start spending more time around people who are positive, who are joyful, who see the goodness in life, people who are maybe, you know, beginning to shift spiritually, excuse me, themselves too, and really hold the highest vision for your life. This is not a time to play small. In between eclipses, absolutely not. I mean, look at what we're in. And like I said, we're in eclipse season. This is a time to really think about exactly what you want. And then in the coming weeks and months, how you're going to shift and shape the life it is you want to live. We are in absolutely monumental times, and we have, every single one of us always has a choice what we're going to tune into. You know, I don't really obsess over these world events. I'm simply saying what is up for us right now. But these are powerful opportunities for awareness and for shifting and for growth. And you can always, you know, I never watch the news. Rarely. I will read an article occasionally and be like, oh, well, that goes with the current astrology. But I never watch news shows where people are on there yelling and screaming and hyping. And I for one, don't really even believe what comes out of the media sometimes. So I, you know, we can tune in to whatever wavelength we want to. So if you want to shift out of fear and into the vibration of love, there's a need to release the things that put you in touch with that sense of fear.
And that things we're not aware of, too, on top of that, because, you know, whatever we focus on, I think, is what we get. So you can change a lot of
things.
We
create a reality by where we put our focus and where what our feelings
but
are.
But also from. Maybe things that people aren't aware of and is the that we have technology around us that is influencing us, our behavior, influencing our thoughts, influencing, keeping us from receiving. If the brain is a receiver and a transmitter, something is messing with that. So there are things you can do. Get away from that stuff.
Yeah, you know more about this than I do, but I know that I'm
like you have.
Right, and I was going to say, you know, I tend to be very sensitive to EMF and radio waves and different frequencies, if especially empathic people. If any of you know your birth charts, you have a lot of water sign energy, or, you know, Neptune placements, or, you know, strong placement of the moon, things like that, or you're sensitive to chemicals, you're emotionally sensitive. These are the people that are going to be feeling, or, you know, I think sometimes those of us who are empaths, we absorb not only, you know, maybe substances in our physical environment, but emotions and energies that we might not even be aware of, and we take it on like it's our own. That's an empathic thing. But what I found, you know, like TJ's pointing to this necklace pendant I have on. It's got some kind of gemstones on the outside and some kind of transmuter on the inside. And I know it might sound a little bit woo-woo, but I have to tell you that since I bought this necklace, it calms me down and it helps me focus. And I just feel such a difference.
And so my point on that was that there are things you can do, not just as far as changing your thinking of the people, but realize that everything that is man-made electronically has an effect on you. So if you can find a way to shut those things off and remove yourself away from them, at least for a little while, I think that's going to help a lot.
Because I think, diet's real important, too. I find the food that we put in our bodies.
Attitude towards that food as well, though.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, like, you know, you're eating something that maybe you feel like, oh, I'm worried about the chemicals in it or whatever. You can always bless your food.
Exactly.
You can always say, you know, I think having gratitude.
Bless this rusty nail. I'm going to swallow this whole. It's good for me. Iron.
Go for it.
I'm getting this iron in my body and I feel great. I think, you know, since everything here is an illusion, ultimately we should be able to convince ourselves that we could eat rusty nails, but I don't recommend
you it. Have at it. You go first and tell us how that goes for you.
We're just about out of time. Do you want to promote your website and any last things you want to say at all?
Sure. You know, if you want to know more about what it is that I do, you can check out my website at brightstarastro.com. You can check out my Facebook page. I try to do at least semi-regular astrology updates on what's going on at Bright Star Astrology and Healing Arts on Facebook. My email address is jhowell, H-O-W-E-L-L, 1221 at gmail.com. You know, there's information on the website about, you know, all the different one-on-one astrology services I do locally or distance. I do, you know, if you're in the Marquette, Gladstone area, I do regular workshops. Twice a month, I've got Women's New Moon Red Tent that I'm just about to start doing. I've got full moon celebrations we're going to be having at the Joy Center. I do other events, you know, based on the season, local mini readings. I do energy healing sessions in person and distance, and I also combine the two. So if you'd like to know more about it, check out my blog where I write about the big things that are happening in the cosmos and how it's impacting us. That's on the website too.
Normally, now from what I understand, what I read with the like the eclipses and or even the new moon, is there like a 7-day? Metatron said something about 7 days before and 7 days after.
Absolutely. At the minimum, you know, I would say, like the week before the eclipse, we're definitely within that energetic time window. The time between eclipses is very powerful. Like right now, just if things feel, you know, off kilter, or you're feeling ungrounded or imbalanced, or you feel like I can't grasp a sense of direction, don't fight that. The more you can just nurture yourself, deep breaths, you know, do some grounding meditation, do yoga, get a healing session, spend time in nature, eat well, nurture your body, nurture your soul. This next eclipse coming up on the 4th, April's going to be a very tense month, at least for the first part, because, you know, Pluto, this planet I was talking about before with these deep, deep interchanges and bringing out our core strength and all these other powerful energies. You know, the Uranus-Pluto square really is still going to be in effect, even just in a more general way, for the next couple of years, for sure, if not longer. So, you know, these are really powerful energies we're in, and Pluto's going to be coming to a standstill in April. So that tension's going to be woven into this eclipse. The next one is really all about, you know, it's very relationship focused. It's me versus society, really, and learning how to bring in harmony and honor ourselves in this whole mix in a very, very broad way. There's just so much tension that's going to be involved in that. So if you're feeling, especially, I would say, what are the dates I wrote down? April 4th is the eclipse. Watch for some potentially explosive energies or realizations or events April 6th through the 10th with some planetary triggers we'll have in there. But otherwise, give yourself at least the 7 or 14 days after the eclipse before you're trying to make any major life choices, unless intuitively it feels right. I always say trust your intuition. But yeah, it is that general time frame. And these themes will impact us for about 6 months or so.
Thank you very much for coming in and talking.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. We'll do this again.
Awesome.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.